The title of today's message is God Your Shield? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you so much for your mercy, your grace, your love, your blessings, and most of all, the relationship that we have with you through our Savior, Jesus Christ. I thank you for loving us unconditionally before we even knew you, that when we were actually living lives that were lives that were working against you, even though we didn't realize it. And yet, Father, you still loved us. For you've told us in your word, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. And because of that, Father, we are reminded that you loved us before we loved you, before we knew you. But when we came to know you, we realized continuously as we follow you how deep your love continues to be revealed to us, and how inexhaustible your love is for each one of us, and how you compel us to love you, to love each other, and to love people. I just pray you help us to be that and to be your people. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As fathers and Christian men, your integrity is a reflection of your faithfulness and love for God. That's the basic thesis of this message, is that as fathers and Christian men, your integrity is a reflection of your faithfulness and love to God. I want to look at Christian integrity. I want to read this testimony about just the testimony that a father left their sons. And it's written by a person by the name of Gail Irwin. And he tells of his father in his book entitled The Jesus Style. Quote, "When I was 6 years old, my father was severely injured in an airplane accident and was left partially paralyzed and brain damaged. My mother then became the breadwinner of the house. Since my mother was often not there as she attempted to make a living and my dad was not there, physically or mentally, the stage was set for family failure. But our family did not fail. Through difficult times, both parents stayed faithful to God and to us. Prayer, belief, steadfastness, and love surrounded us. Money and fine homes didn't. When my father died, my two brothers and I stood in front of his casket and made the following statement to the friends who had gathered for the funeral service. Quote, our father did not leave a financial empire for us to carry on. Many things that a dad normally does with his sons or was unable to do. He was unable to teach us many things that a dad normally teaches, but he did leave us something that he had. He left us with a love of God, a love for the Bible, a love for people, and an understanding of worship, and an inability to hate. We feel that he has left us only those things that will last. So we stand here before you as his sons and declare publicly that we will follow his God." What a testimony of a father's two sons, that they would state that as the heritage that they valued the most from their father while at his funeral. Praise God for that. This is something that you and I as men should aspire to be godly men that make a lasting, and if you will, an everlasting impact on our children and grandchildren. So how can fathers have that kind of integrity and follow the example of Jesus? In John 4:34, it says, Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Kind of a strange thing. Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me," right? And to finish his work. So just a simple, obvious question, what does food do for us, right? It keeps us alive. So what does doing the will of our Father in heaven do for us? It maintains our spiritual vitality. When we are doing the will of our Father in heaven, that was the meat and drink that Jesus was referring to, and it maintains our spiritual vitality. Jesus was 100% man and 100% God while on earth. And so he's saying, my will is to do the will of my Father. That's the example of Jesus for you and I, that our ultimate final, most important will in our life is to be in the will of Jesus, whatever it may be. Fathers, we need to not forget something that we're really familiar with. If you're a Christian, you've heard this verse many times, but instead of just being clearly familiar with this passage or this scripture, we need to adopt this scripture. It's found in Philippians 1:21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That's what God wants us to do. That's our focal point. Our focal point is to live for Jesus, and to die is gain. Knowing that when we go to heaven, that we're only gaining far more than what we have here. And so, as Jesus did, we're not to set out to honor or glorify or magnify ourselves as the world sets out to do. That shouldn't be our goal, to make something of ourselves to honor, glorify, and magnify ourselves. Again, that shouldn't be what we are, it shouldn't be our primary objective, even though that's how the world directs us. But instead, we are to seek to honor, glorify, and magnify God, your Heavenly Father. When we're seeking the will of God, we're seeking to honor Him, glorify Him, and magnify Him. The word magnify means to reveal or make manifest the person of Christ in and through our lives and in our life circumstances. Like Juan, he's not a dad, but he's being an example to those around him of the relationship that he has in Christ, and it's different than who he was before. That's new life. That's the example. And John 8:54 says, Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. If we seek to honor ourselves, Jesus said it himself, it's nothing, it's worthless, it's empty. But if I seek to honor my Father, that's what's valuable. That's what's most important for us to remember. I want us to look at Exodus 20, verse 3. In verses 5 through 6, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children of the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. If we seek to honor God our Father in heaven, he will honor us. I want to be honored by God, do you? I mean, God honors us because we honor him, and to be honored by God is a great privilege. And so we want that. We want that to happen. And so the world tries to distract us from living that life of integrity that I was speaking about, from following God's will. Paul reminds us in Colossians 3, verses 1 through 3, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. Raised with Christ, like when you came up out of the water, you were raised with Christ, a commitment to follow Jesus, saved through faith in Jesus Christ first, then by example and symbolism, raised up to new life. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. There's a focal point, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Verse 3 is if you read it just as it is, it's kind of a weird verse to most, especially if you're first reading it. What do you mean I died? I'm alive. I'm right here. No, it's when we say no to ourselves and we die to our own self for the sake of living for God and his will. That's dying to ourselves and living for God. When we do that, then we will find the life that God has for us. It's hidden in Christ. The more we die to ourselves and yield to the will of God, the more we will discover the hidden purpose that God has planned for each of our lives. So we're called to set our mind on things above to help us to keep our integrity, right? And focus on God's will in your life. A father's value and pursue integrity. A godly man will value integrity. Merriam-Webster's Collegate Dictionary defines integrity this way. Integrity is incorruptibility, soundness, and or completeness. And the synonym is honesty. Now, how do you guys view yourself? How do I view myself as a father, going for Father's Day, as being unable to be corrupted with sin? How much do we see the solidness or the soundness of our faith and our walk in Christ? Do we see ourselves as being complete in Him? Now, complete in Him might be contradictory to the fact that we're constantly called to grow, and He's making us and changing us to be more like Him. But there is a specific reference to the word completeness here as a definition for integrity. And we're going to look at that in a moment. But the thing I want you to remember as well in this message is that the world needs men with integrity. Amen? Men that stand up, men that are men that are strong, men that have conviction, men that stand for Christ, that live for Jesus, to be godly men. The world needs that. Families need that. Children need that. We need that. That's what God wants. And the enemy has worked hard to corrupt men's lives and to rob them of the life that God has for them. In Proverbs 10:9, it says, "He who walks with integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will become known." There's another scripture that says, you know, if you're walking in truth, you can walk in the streets like a roaring lion without any fear, without absolute confidence. I'm paraphrasing. But if you don't have that security of a right heart with God, you can run in fear. And so we have a choice. We can walk bravely and strong for God, or we can live our lives out in fear and not in confidence, because we know where we stand with God. In Proverbs 10:9, "He who walks with integrity walks securely," as I said, but he who perverts his ways will become known. And so we don't want to live lives that pervert the truth of God. We don't want to live lives that twist the truth, compromise the truth, invalidate the truth from our witness. But we want to live lives that do the opposite of that. When you walk in integrity, you walk on good ground that keeps you standing upright. When we're right with God, we can walk with confidence and firmness, and we can walk on solid ground, and we don't have to be afraid. As Christians, our morals must remain untouchable by this corrupt culture. We need to be people with integrity, for by having integrity, we will not only please God, but we will also be among those rare sightings that people take notice of. How many men do you know in your life that are godly men of integrity that stand out of the crowd? The world needs to see more of that. We need to see more of that. Amen? Amen. And when this happens, when men are men of integrity, standing up for what's right, guarding their lives and hearts from being what God doesn't want them to be, then Jesus is lifted up through our lives for the world to see. People will see the difference. People will say, "You are a strong man of conviction and integrity, and I respect you." And men need to know that they're respected, not because they're a man, but because they've earned that respect and their integrity, and their integrity. So what does it mean when integrity is defined by completeness? Because we're definitely not complete in Christ yet. It's a continual work. He's transforming our lives to be more like Christ. When we read Proverbs 2:7, it says, "He stores up sound wisdom for the upright." And get this, "He is a shield to those who walk uprightly." When we're upright, outstanding men because of honest integrity, then God is our shield. Read it again. When we're upright, outstanding men because of honest integrity, then God is our shield. God gives us extra protection as his people, as godly men, when we stand in a way that's right and pleasing to him. What does that verse right there have to do with integrity being complete or sound? I want us to think about this illustration. How many of you like Star Wars, Star Trek, all those science fiction spaceships and all of that? How many of you like seaworthy ships or like watching ships out at sea, or you're watching history, the History Channel, or some sort of military boats in the water, whatever, right? You're on a cruise ship. Just go there. How many like that? Haven't been there, but I bet I'd like it. Maybe, as long as it doesn't sink. So, when the captain says, whether on a spaceship or whether on a ship in the ocean, when he says, what's the condition of the hull of the ship? What's the soundness of the hull of the ship? What's he saying? What is the strength and stability? How is the strength and stability and character and integrity of this ship or this aircraft holding up? Kathy and I were taking a plane from San Francisco to Fresno. We're supposed to do the little jump flight. It was a two-prop plane. It was built in 1901. Maybe 1897, I don't know. We got on the plane and there's three seats wide, one on this side, two on this side. Walking down the aisle, trying not to trip on the carpet that was frayed and piled up. We're in the back of the plane. We're sitting there. It was a downpour, black storm out there. Lightning, storming, pouring down rain. We're in this antique plane, torn up carpet, sitting on the very back row of the seats. There's only like seven of us on this plane. And the stewardess sit down and buckle up, and we hear the stewardess behind us go, I hope this thing makes it. You know, this is not cool. So the pilot may have asked his co-pilot, is this hull sound? Is this plane sound? And that's what God wants you and I to see, what God wants to see in you and I as godly men. He wants to see the soundness of our faith being able to endure whatever challenge we approach. Good, sound, solid, strong, faithful, godly Christian men that are continuing in their faith and walk with God not only glorifies God, but is what the world and families and country need today. Amen? Amen. And so we read in Proverbs 2 that he is a shield to those who walk uprightly. Our integrity requires us walking right with God. Our integrity, as we walk right with God, provides a shield that completes us in our walk. It gives us soundness. It gives us that protection. So based upon the meaning of integrity, we could say he is a shield to those who walk in completeness. Only in Christ can we walk with that completeness. So it would be true to say that if we don't walk with God, we don't have that completeness in Christ. We don't have that sense of that added blessing that God will protect us. But let me ask you, are there godly men that have had horrible situations in their lives? Have they met tragedy? Have they met health issues? Have they endured great emotional hardship? We're not talking about protection from the world we live in that regard. We're talking about protection to stand up spiritually as godly men, no matter what the storm or front is before us. That's what's important. Because anything that we hit that affects us physically or emotionally, you know, in this world, whatever dynamic, whatever circumstance we face, if we're walking with God, we can plow right through it by faith. God will carry us. Doesn't mean it'll be easy, but God will carry us. In Colossians 2:10, it says, "And you are complete in him who is the head of principality and power." You are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Christ is and has all authority. Have all authority. I'm sorry, I lost the page here. So, when we clothe ourselves with completeness, integrity, soundness, uprightness, we equip ourselves with confidence, boldness, ability to walk with that confidence in Christ. We're clothed with the completeness that God offers us. We achieve, again, that true soundness as strong, godly men. As we walk in integrity, we walk with God as our shield. If we're not walking with integrity, then we're concerned about our relationship and that shield is not there. But when we walk right with God, we walk boldly. So that shield will protect us, will keep us safe, like a shield protects a soldier. Remember what I said. It's not the physical war that we're speaking of. It's the spiritual war to be able to stand. And when godly men, like in that story, the guy's father was basically physically and mentally thwarted in the most of his capacity. But he was alive enough to keep his integrity and faith in God and taught the value of loving God, loving his word, and loving people. What a heritage. Praise God for that. So whether you're a man or a woman, a Christian man or woman, we all are in a very real war, a spiritual war, right? And God wants us to live our lives in a way that we know that we're shielded by him. Roman shields were full length, leather. When they came against the enemy, they would go lock shoulder to shoulder. They'd have their shield, make a shield wall. Soldiers behind that first row would come up and hold their shields to where it would make a box. These front shields standing up, and there was a top right here. So we had a shelter above and along the side pressing forward. You and I as Christians are called to do that. When I said that the blessing was seeing each of us together in God's house as believers to encourage each other, it meant that we weren't standing alone holding our own shield in front of what we're facing. It means that when we're together, we're holding shields together, shoulder to shoulder, protecting each other and being much stronger in faith and capability to overcome the enemy. We need not only the armor of God, but we also need our church family, our friends, our brothers and sisters in Christ, because that helps us to stand strong in Jesus. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I heard a pastor this morning when he was praying, it kind of touched me when he said, "Father, I hope I haven't muddied the waters at all, but that what you wanted to be presented was clear." I echo that this morning. I pray that there's no muddy waters of confusion, but that what has been presented is exactly that which you want presented. And I pray that as men, that you will help us, Father, to be men that are bold in Christ, to be men that are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, to be men that take account and stand strong as husbands and as fathers, and as brothers. I pray, Father, please, that you will endow us with greater boldness to be your people, with a greater love for you in each of our hearts, a greater love, again, for our families, our family in Christ, and for people in the world in which we live in. Bless us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.